Welcome back to the Power Hour. If you don't have your kitchen magnet, you may want to go get it because we're going to talk about it. I don't know what we'll do with them exactly, but Bradley Nelson will give us an idea. We're very excited to have him on. He's written a new book called The Emotion Code. Got it right here. The tagline is How to Release Your Trapped Emotions for Abundant Health, Love, and Happiness. Isn't that what we all want? Health, love, and happiness. And he's written a book. He's a veteran holistic physician. He's one of the world's foremost experts in the emerging fields of bioenergetic medicine and energy psychology. Two interesting topics. We're very excited to have him on. Dr. Nelson, welcome to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you, Daniel. It is great to be here with you.
Oh, the music just came up for whatever reason. That was weird. Okay. Your book, The Emotion Code. Tell us, you know, give us a little background on yourself and why. What made you write this book?
Absolutely. Well, I've been a holistic chiropractic physician for 30 years. I practiced for about 19 and a half years. I had a brick-and-mortar practice for 17 years and practiced in a distance practice for about 2.5 years. And during all of those years, the most important thing I can tell you is that I had developed a habit from the very, very beginning of asking for help from up above. We all have we've got a father above who's real, and I learned when I was very young, I was 7 years old, and I was very, very sick with the measles. I was supposed to go into the hospital the next day into an oxygen tent, from what I had heard my parents saying. And my father prayed for me, and I was instantly healed. And to go from being really, really sick one moment to being totally healed the next moment, you don't ever forget that. So I learned that there's a higher power. So when I got into practice, I started this habit of asking for help from up above with each person that I saw. And as time went on, my cases got more and more difficult. During the last 10 years of my practice, most of the people that I was seeing had been told there was really no hope, no help for them at all available in Western medicine. And there were times during those years when somebody would come in to see me that had something going on that I didn't know how to address, or didn't know how to deal with, didn't know how to approach, and I would offer that silent prayer and ask for help, and the information would just literally flood into my being like an immense download of data from up above about what to do and how to look at this and how to help this person. So what happened was during those years, one of the things that I learned was that the single biggest common denominator for all of us, no matter what we're suffering from, no matter what my patients were suffering from, no matter how old or how young they were, whether they were dealing with depression or anxiety or phobias or panic attacks or eating disorders or PTSD, or whether they were dealing with physical problems like pain, migraines, back pain, neck pain, digestive problems, infertility, asthma, et cetera, or some other named disease, or whether they were dealing with just the more common kinds of pain that we see, what I found was that we all my patients had this common denominator, and that common denominator was what you might call emotional baggage. Emotional baggage. And, you know, we talk about emotional baggage sometimes, usually, Daniel, when we're referring to somebody else, right? We say things
right,
like, oh, that's
their baggage.
A lot of emotional baggage, right? Most people have a lot of baggage. But see, we all have baggage. We've all got emotional baggage. We've all been through emotional experiences that were intense at some point or another. And we've all been through things we'd rather not have gone through. And what happens is during those times when we're feeling those intense emotions of grief or anger or resentment or depression or whatever it might be, what's going on in our bodies on a quantum level is very interesting. You see, the body itself, we know, is really nothing more than a very complex energy field. The quantum physicists have been telling us that for over 100 years. And if you look at your hand looks pretty solid. But if you were to magnify that hand under a big enough microscope at a large enough magnification, eventually you'd be looking at an individual atom. And if you were to look inside the atom, there's really nothing in there. It's just empty space, and there's lots of space in between those atoms and so on. And that's really what we are. So when you're feeling an intense emotion, what we have found is that every emotion has its own specific vibrational frequency. So if you can imagine, if you're feeling an emotion of anger or resentment or grief or something, you're feeling a certain frequency of energy, because you see, everything in the universe is really energy. Thought is energy. Emotions are energy. Our bodies are energy. And so when you're feeling an intense emotion, if it's powerful enough, the energy of that emotion can actually become trapped in the body. So that when that event is over and the bully moves away, or the divorce is finalized, or you quit that job and get a better job, you can still have some of that emotional energy with you, stuck in your body, lodged in your body, in the form of this emotional baggage, which we refer to as trapped emotions. It's energy that becomes trapped in the body. And every trapped emotion is like a little ball of emotional energy, from the size of a baseball to about the size of a maybe a softball. And what these things do, they're invisible. It took me a long, long time to figure this out, 17 years working day in and day out with all kinds of patients of all ages with all kinds of difficulties. But what I found is that this emotional baggage is the single biggest underlying common denominator for all the problems that we are dealing with. And, of course, it's completely ignored by Western medicine. It's something that's been acknowledged for thousands of years in other forms of healing, Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine and so on. But the emotion code is just a really
simple way
for people to find it and get rid of it.
Okay, perfect. Let me ask a question, because you went over a lot of information there. When we feel emotions, you say it gets trapped in your body. It's a strong emotion. I mean, are you saying good things can get trapped in your body too? You have bad things or bad emotions? Or tell me this process of trapped. What does that mean, trapped in your body?
Right. Well, what happens is there are a couple of different occasions where we can develop trapped emotions. Now, the vast majority of the emotions that we experience do not become trapped in the body. It's only a tiny fraction of those. But if you go through an event that's really intense, for example, you go through some kind of a breakup or a divorce, or you're bullied as a child, or your parents are going through a divorce or something, those emotions that you feel, when they're very powerful, they can become trapped in the body. Now, we don't totally understand how this process works, but suffice to say, this is the kind of thing that happens. Let me give you an idea. Let me share a story with you. It'll help. One of the first people that I saw with this phenomenon, as I was learning how this works, was a woman who came in to see me who thought she was having a heart attack. I'd seen her before, but it had been a few months. And so one day she comes in, and she's got difficulty breathing. She's got this crushing chest pain. The left side of her face is numb. The left arm is totally numb. And I told my staff, look, we might need an ambulance, so stand by. But I did some testing on her and very quickly found out that she had a trapped emotion. Now, the trapped emotion was grief, and it's easy to identify these using the emotion code. It's a very rapid process. And grief. And so I was able to determine using the emotion code that this had occurred about 3 years before. But when I arrived at that, suddenly she burst into tears, and she's crying, and she's saying, I can't believe that's affecting me. I thought I dealt with all that and put all that behind me. And I said, well, what in the world happened to you? And she said that 3 years before, she found out that her husband was having an affair. And so she confronted him about it, and the whole marriage blew up. And before long, she was divorced and spent some time in therapy dealing with it mentally, and had even gotten remarried recently. But the emotional energy that she had felt, those buckets of tears that she cried over this guy who she really was deeply in love with and thought she was going to be with forever, betrayed her. And so that emotional energy was still with her. Now, when I released that emotional energy from her body, and again, this just takes seconds, the release process, within about 3 seconds, the feeling came back into her face and into her arm. Whoosh, that fast. And the pain was gone. The difficulty breathing was gone. She left the office 10 minutes later feeling totally fine. Now, when she left the office, I remember sitting down at my desk, and my head was spinning. And I was thinking, what in the world did I just witness? How is it possible that an emotional energy like that could actually manifest as a heart attack, as heart attack symptoms. Well, now we know that people die all the time of a heart attack, of a broken heart. Western medicine refers to it as cardiac syndrome. It was the Japanese that first discovered this. And so we believe that trapped emotions are definitely implicated in that type of thing. So we don't totally understand what the exact mechanism is, but there's one other way that you can get these, and that is if there's an emotion that is trying to surface and you just suppress it. And, you know, a lot of people will do that kind of thing where they don't want to feel any emotions, and so they just bury those and they push those aside, or they'll just push them down, and eventually they manifest as some kind of a physical issue typically.
Okay, we got about a minute and a half before the first break here. But, you know, music is really powerful. I know for me, I know many people have a similar experience. They'll hear a song they haven't heard in a long time or what have you, and then that song immediately takes them back, you know, 20 years ago in high school or you know, remember doing this, playing baseball. So, you know, they take them back to it, mm-hmm. almost puts them in time in a totally different place. What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, it's a similar kind of thing. We connect events and places with certain things, certain memories, certain sounds, certain feelings are often associated with specific unique memories. And the emotion code is similar. I remember once I worked on a woman who she came from another state to be treated for fibromyalgia, which is this problem where people get pain all over the body, and of course there's no real treatment or known cause for it medically. And on about the third treatment, we found that she had a trapped emotion. The emotion was resentment. And she was about 42 or so at the time, and this dated back to 18 years old. And she said, I know exactly what that is. It was about a high school a girl she knew in high school who was a cheerleader. She said, even now, whenever I think about that girl, I can feel the resentment welling up inside of me. And I'll tell you what happened after the break when we released that emotion of resentment.
Oh, yes, that'd be very good. Okay, well, on the other side, let's talk about ourselves. Let's look at ourselves. I got my magma here. Let's see what we're talking about. Maybe that woman that you mentioned that got remarried, maybe getting married again kind of triggered her back to that place. I don't know. Stay tuned to powerhour.com. The Emotion Code is the book. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Talking with Dr. Nelson, we just reminiscing about some a restaurant in the West. Sorry. Had a big smile on my face. Just talking to him is very exciting because this is kind of the branches that are coming from this new science, this new understanding. Really, I say this over and over. The scientific discoveries we are seeing are making Darwin look like a fool. I mean, we do not come from this lower organism and then rise up. It's the complete opposite. And so much more is there that we don't even see. We can't even understand or see the horizon. And that's what he's tapping into with this book. This is a short segment, Dr. Nelson. We'll go through it on the other side if we need to. Okay, we're here. Everybody's listening. I got my magnet or whatever. I got the book. Give me a crash course. What do we talk about? How do I do this on myself? Where would I start?
Well, for those who were listening before, let me finish the story really quick about the woman that had the resentment from high school. I'm working on this woman. She's about 42. We find that she has this trapped emotion of resentment from high school. And she said, I know exactly what that is. It's a cheerleader that I knew in high school. She said, even after all these years, whenever I think of her, I can just feel this resentment welling up inside of me. So we released this trapped emotion. A couple of days later, she came back into me. She said, you know, last night I was at a friend's house talking to her, and that girl, that cheerleader, her name came up in conversation. She said, for the first time in all these years, I didn't feel anything. Didn't feel all the resentment. It's just gone. So when we release emotional baggage, what we're doing is we're taking away the electrical charge from a memory, really. So it's not that the memories are wiped out. You still remember everything, but you kind of don't care so much. It doesn't bother you so much. So So that kind of finishes off that story.
I'm fascinated.
To tell you how this works, yeah, the only way that the emotion code can possibly work is by tapping into the subconscious mind. Now, our conscious mind is where we live and we go to school and we have our relationships and we work our jobs and so on. But the subconscious mind is the unconscious part of us. And that's really the smart part of us. That's the part of us that's so smart it can take a ham sandwich and can convert that over into new cardiac muscle tissue or new nerve cells, whatever you need. It's an order of intelligence that is so far beyond our ability to comprehend that we really haven't begun trying to comprehend it yet fully, because it's just way beyond our ability. So anyway, what happens is that subconscious mind is like an archiving computer. It's like a holographic computer. It's remembering everything you've ever done, every face you've ever seen in a crowd, everything that you've ever eaten or tasted or touched or smelled, the whole history of your health or disease, every moment of your life, and every trapped emotion that you have, every emotional event you've been through, every bit of emotional baggage that you have. It's all known to the subconscious. So consciously, people don't know why they're sick. They don't know why they're in pain. They don't know why they're depressed. They don't know why they have cancer. They don't understand. They don't know. And so the subconscious mind is where the answers really are. And so what we have to do is we have to tap into that subconscious mind. And there are a number of ways of doing this. And one of the ways that I can share with your listeners right now is something that we call the sway test. And here's how the sway test works. First of all, if you think about a plant, you put a plant near a window, it's going to grow towards the light coming in from the window. But did you know that if you put a plant in a room where there's scary or harsh grating sounds or screamo music coming out of the speaker, the plant will grow away from the sound coming out of the speaker, and even the roots will bend away from that. Interesting, huh? Plants are intelligent, and we are too. So how much time have we got? And we might need to do this after this next break.
We got about a minute. Just keep going. I'll cut you off before the break, okay. And then we'll just continue. Sway test, so we can go ahead.
The sway test. So, yeah, so the body will... the body is an organism also, of course, a very complex organism. But like a plant, your body will tend to sway. If you're standing very relaxed, if you're thinking positive or congruent or true thoughts, your body will tend to sway forward after a few moments. If you're holding thoughts of negativity or falsehood or incongruency, your body will tend to sway backward if you're standing very still. And so we use this ability of the subconscious mind. We use this ability of the body to sway forward or backward to actually get answers from the subconscious mind. Now, this is just one of the methods that we use, but it's one that I can actually share with your listeners over the air, because it works for pretty much everybody first time. And for most people, it's the very first
time. This is almost like muscle testing.
Well, this is a form of...
This is almost like...
Now, yes. It's a form of muscle testing. We use lots of different methods of muscle testing in the emotion code, and we teach all kinds of methods, self-testing, testing other people. But this is one that your listeners can do right now.
Okay, fantastic. We'll continue on the other side. We're going to get to it. Maybe we, I guess you think about emotion. Well, just walk us through how it goes. The Emotion Code is the book, the tagline, How to Release Your Trapped Emotions for Abundant Health, Love, and Happiness. Who doesn't want that? Dr. Bradley Nelson. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Power Hour. We're talking to Dr. Bradley Nelson. The book is The Emotion Code, How to Release Your Trapped Emotions for Abundant Health, Love, and Happiness. There is a part of a poem here, Dr. Nelson. I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we'll continue with the lesson here. Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life star, hath an elsewhere its setting, and cometh from afar, not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. William Wordsworth. I think that's beautiful and kind of sums up what we're dealing with here, what we're connecting with. So please continue. With my uncle sitting here in the studio, he was on earlier. He's ready to sway or whatever. He's listening intently. So go on, continue on.
Okay, great. Well, here's how we do the sway test. If you stand up, now you can do this seated. If you're driving, do it later. Of course, you can do it seated.
Yeah,
your chair. You can sit right on the edge of your chair, but it really works best standing. So if you stand with your shoulders, your feet about shoulder width apart, and drop your hands to your sides, and just totally relax. And as you're standing there, what you'll notice is that there's a little bit of movement going on. It's impossible to stand perfectly still. There's a little bit of oscillation happening, and that's okay. That's just your postural muscles working to keep you standing upright so that you don't fall over. But now what I'd like you to do, we'll start with something negative. I'd like you to think about the word war. And I'd like you to imagine for a moment, you know, we hear that word every day. We've heard it all of our lives. But I'd like you for a moment to imagine what really goes on a human level in war. Just focus on that for a moment. What are people doing to other people in war? What are young men doing to other young men in war? What's happening to villages and what's happening to cities and countries and families and children? Think about, on a human level, all the tears that have been shed over all the wars that have been fought over all these centuries of man's existence on this earth. Wars have been going on since the very beginning. And as you get in touch with that, when your subconscious mind really is able to connect with what you are consciously thinking, at that moment, you'll start to sway backward. And that's your subconscious mind trying to move you away from the sheer negativity of that thought of war, which is about the most negative thing I think that we do in this world. Now, by the same token, let's shift gears now, and let's think about something positive and watch what happens here. So I'd like you to think about the word love, and think about the highest forms of love, the love of God for us, for example, for all of his children, unconditional love. Think about how you have been loved unconditionally by certain people in your life. And think about the people that you really love. And as you're thinking about that and allowing your heart to fill with love for those people or whatever it might be, whatever that means to you, as you're allowing your heart to fill with love and even gratitude for whoever that is, if you can imagine that person or those people standing in front of you and imagine that you're about to tell them how much you really, truly love them for whatever they have done for you. Maybe it's a parent, maybe a sibling, a spouse, whatever it might be. As you're thinking about that and allowing your heart to fill with love and gratitude, as soon as your subconscious mind connects with what you are consciously thinking, you'll start to sway forward. And that's your subconscious mind trying to move you towards that high, high energy, that very high vibration of love and gratitude. So that's the sway test. Now, if it didn't work for you this time, sometimes the first time or two that you do this, it can take a little bit longer. But for most people, it works right away. And so we can use this method, actually, to ask questions of our subconscious mind. And by the way, Daniel, the subconscious mind is really just that spirit intelligence that is inside of us that has been around forever and will be around forever. And I believe that when we come into this world, our ability to access all of that intelligence is kind of dialed way back. So we're not able to really access all of it. But I think when people die and they go to the other side, you know, they come back oftentimes and, well, sometimes, most of the time they don't, but sometimes they do. And they say things like, you know, when I got to the other side and into that spiritual world, I found I could ask thousands of questions simultaneously and all the answers would flow in instantly and be understood perfectly. And so anyway, that's who I think we really are. We're incredibly intelligent beings, but we're dialed way, way back in this world. So we can use this sway test to ask questions. So, for example, you can form a question in your mind like, do I have a trapped emotion that needs to be released? Do I have a trapped emotion that needs to be released? Hold that thought in your mind as you're standing there, relaxed, totally relaxed. Do I have a trapped emotion that needs to be released? And if your body starts to sway forward, of course, that's a yes answer from the subconscious. If your body starts to sway backward, that's a no answer. So if you get a no answer on that question, you can ask another question. And then I'll explain what this means. You can ask, do I have a heart wall? Do I have a heart wall? So put that question out there. Think about that. Focus on that question as you're standing there very relaxed. Do I have a heart wall? And if you go forward on that one, then it means that you have another phenomenon going on. And I'll try to explain this. What happened back, going back to the 1960s when doctors started doing heart transplants for the very first time, it didn't take too long before people started coming back to the doctors saying a strange thing. They would say things like, you know, my taste in music or my taste in sports or food completely changed. Or they'd say, I have memories of being places that I've never in my life visited. How is that possible? Sometimes their handwriting would completely change. And in every case, when they were connected with the family of the heart donor, they would find out, oh, yes, that's our son's handwriting that you have. How strange is that? Or, yes, our daughter visited those places. Or, well, yes, I guess you love baseball now because our son loved baseball. And or our daughter was a concert violinist, and now you have that same love. It's amazing. So the heart carries these memories, and it's a fascinating thing. We call it cellular memory. And there are, of course, books written about all of this, and there's amazing, amazing stories about this. But what we have found is that when you feel like your heart is going to break, when someone's really hurting you or you're really deeply grieved, you can have a physical sensation that you feel. And it can feel like there's an elephant sitting on your chest or like you're choking, like you can't breathe. Most people have felt this at one point or another in their lives. And if you experience this more than once or twice, the subconscious mind will try to protect that heart of yours from being totally broken. You see, the heart is really what the ancients believed it to be. The heart is the seat of the soul, the source of love, the source of creativity, the source of romance. And this, I believe, it really is the seat of the soul. And so it's a fascinating thing, but this is common to all mankind. Every language that I've been able to investigate around the world has a phrase or a word for heartbreak. And doesn't matter what culture you go to, people will tell you the same thing. When they felt like their heart was going to break, they felt a physical kind of a feeling, and that's because that heart is under assault, really. So the subconscious mind, when that's going on, will create a wall around that heart made of your emotional baggage. So it literally will create a wall. It's an invisible wall made from the energies of some of the emotional baggage that you have picked up during your lifetime, or maybe that you even inherited. So it's a crazy thing, and I'll tell you...
Yeah, on the other side. Yeah, I'm fascinated. My uncle here is swaying in the studio. It's hilarious. More with Dr. Nelson, the book, The Emotion Code, How to Release Your Trapped Emotions for Abundant Health, Love, and Happiness. Stay tuned. If you'd like a free copy, a download of this book for the next 24 hours or so at the website emotioncodegift.com, www.emotioncodegift.com, you can download the ebook there and learn a lot more about this process. And also apps, iTunes, you can get the app and download now. And there's going to be a big re-release of this book come next year. So this is a big push and a big thing, and he has a lot of practitioners throughout the country. You can meet with somebody personally and have them do this. But in the time that we have remaining, we're here, we're swaying. Let's pull something out. Tell us how to pull something out of us.
Okay. Well, basically, if you go online, you can Google Emotion Code Chart, and you'll find thousands and thousands of copies of the chart that we use. Now, this is a chart that has 60 emotions in it, and it's divided up into two columns and six rows. So here's basically the process. If I were doing this on myself, and let's say I'm using the sway test that I just showed you, what I would do and what you could do is you could ask, okay, do I have a trapped emotion that needs to be released? And if you get a sway forward, of course, that's a yes answer. So then what you could do is you could use the chart. And you could then ask, okay, is this emotion in column A? Remember, the chart's divided into two columns, 30 in column A, 30 in column B. And so you could ask, is this emotion in column A? And if the body sways backward, that's a no. If it sways forward, that's a yes. So that way you're able to identify the column that the emotion is in. And then what we do is we divide the column. Let's say the emotion is in column A. And the subconscious mind knows what the column is. So in a sense, it's like we're playing charades with the subconscious mind to get these answers out of it. But this is how it's done. And it's very rapid once you get the hang of it. Most people can find and release a trapped emotion in about a minute once they figure out how to do this. So let's say the emotion is in column A. You swayed forward on that. Then what you would do is you'd ask, okay, is this emotion in one of the odd rows, row 1 or 3 or 5 in column A? If you get a forward sway on that, that would be a yes. If you get a backward sway, that would be a no. And so let's say you get a forward sway, then you'd ask, well, okay, is it in row 1? Let's say that's a no. Row 3, maybe that's a yes. So at some point, pretty rapidly, you have drilled down to where you've got 5 emotions left. There are 5 emotions in each cell. And then you simply ask, okay, well, is it pride? If you go backward, that's a no. Shame, backward, that's a no. Forward, that's a yes. Shock, unworthy, worthless. We have all the main emotions are on that chart, and one of those is going to go is going to be positive. One of those is going to be a yes, generally speaking. And so when you find that emotion, the next question that you ask, and by the way, we have flow charts for all this. It's really simple. You do it a few times, you don't need the flow charts anymore. But the next question that you ask is, do we need to know more about this? And if you get a yes answer on that, then you determine when this occurred. Sometimes you see the subconscious mind will want you to dig a little deeper before it will allow this emotional energy to actually be released. And so typically you might need to figure out when this occurred. You might need to even sometimes dig a little deeper than that, like you might need to know who was involved and so on. But it's a very, very simple process. In fact, it's so simple. Let me share a story with you. There was a woman not too long ago that I was talking to who told me that she got a hold of the book and the book on audio and started reading it and listening to it. And her son started reading it and listening to it, and he started practicing with his friends, and she didn't pay too much attention. A couple of weeks go by, and the phone rings. She picks up the phone, and on the other end of the phone line, there's a woman who identifies herself as the mother of one of this woman's son's friends. And she says, listen, your son's been doing this emotional thing with the other boys. And she said, I haven't paid much attention, but she said, I have to tell you something. She said, my son has had a severe phobia of water all of his life. Now, you can have a phobia to anything. And this boy had a phobia of water. And she said, we've tried everything. We've taken him to everybody for years. Nothing has ever worked. And it's been very disruptive to our life as a family and to his life. But we just figured this was going to be something he was going to have all of his life. But she said, right now, she said, I'm at the community pool. She said, my son is out playing in the water with the other boys. For the first time in his entire life, she said, your son did this to him. My son's not seeing anybody. He's not going to anybody. Your son did this. He said, how is it even possible? What in the world is he doing? How can this even be? And those two boys are only 11 years old. And that's how simple it can be. You have to try it.
Hold on, Doc. So once you identify the emotions, then what do you do?
Well, what happens is, when you identify the emotion, you ask, do we need to know more? When the body says no, you don't need to know any more about this, at that point what you do is you can take a magnet, a refrigerator magnet, any kind of a magnet, okay? And if you're working on yourself, what I like to do is start by putting the magnet right in the middle of my forehead, and then I just go over the top of my head to the back of my neck 3 times to release a trapped emotion. That's all it takes. And these emotions never come back. When you release an emotional energy like this, we've got almost 5,000 certified emotion code practitioners now in 77 countries around the world. None of us have ever seen one of these come back in 30 years. When you release one of these, they're gone. And that doesn't mean that you don't maybe have more than one occurrence of anger or resentment or frustration or whatever in your body. But each one of them will generally be about a different event that happened to you. So the bottom line is that gradually you start to clear yourself of all this emotional baggage. And at a certain point, it's almost like stepping out of this old suit that you've been wearing and you step out into this new state of being that is different, that is lighter, that is not burdened so much by all the emotional baggage, and that is much closer to the being that God, I think, really intends you, for you to be. It enables us to be better instruments in God's hands to do his work and so on. And so it's a very powerful thing.
Okay. A couple quick questions. Okay, what if I know there's some emotion or some event in my life, and I don't really have to, I know, like a certain event, hey, this happened when I was a child, blah, 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 blah. Would you bring that up and then release that, or how does that work?
You certainly could. The way that you would do that is, like let's say, for example, you went through a divorce, okay? What you could do is you could ask, do I have a trapped emotion that I can release that pertains to my divorce? Your subconscious mind has a list of them, and so just wait one up, and you'll be able to clear it out. And then eventually what will happen is you'll ask, okay, do I have a trapped emotion that I need to release about my divorce? And at a certain point, the body's going to say, no, there aren't any more left. And at that point, you'll be able to, you know, move on with your life better.
Well, very fascinating. I'm fascinated. The book is The Emotion Code, How to Release Your Trapped Emotions for Abundant Health, Love, and Happiness. www.emotioncodegift.com is where you can get a free download of the ebook. Dr. Nelson, it's been a pleasure to meet you. I'm very excited to try this. I'll learn more. I got the book here, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Well, great. Thanks. It's been a great pleasure, Daniel, and I appreciate you having me on. Take care.